What happens when one of virtual reality's founding fathers, a man who literally invented the technology that would shape our digital future, suddenly sounds the alarm about the very revolution he helped create? Jaron Lanier didn't just witness the internet's transformation from liberating frontier to algorithmic prison, he built the tools, wrote the code, and championed the utopian vision. Then he watched in horror as that vision curdled into something unrecognizable. His warning cuts deeper than typical tech criticism because it comes from inside the temple, from someone who knows exactly which decisions locked us into our current digital cage and why those early choices now feel impossible to undo. Consider your keyboard. Every key press flows through systems designed by exhausted 1980s programmers under brutal deadlines. MIDI, the musical instrument digital interface, was cobbled together so synthesizers could communicate. It captured keyboard events beautifully, but completely missed the expressive breath of saxophones, the vibrato of violins, the subtle pitch variations making human voices distinctive. This casual hack became the universal standard for digital music. Billions of devices later, we're trapped in MIDI's rigid framework, forcing infinite musical possibility into discrete, predetermined values. This phenomenon, what Lanier calls lock-in, repeats throughout our digital infrastructure. Unix embedded a philosophy where discrete events trump continuous human experience. Decades later, despite computers millions of times faster, we still experience maddening micro-delays, typing lag, video stutters, frozen screens. These aren't bugs. They're echoes of architectural decisions that became permanent before anyone grasped their implications. Even the humble file represents a philosophical choice we've forgotten was ever chosen. Early alternatives existed, systems where information flowed like water rather than sitting in containers. Now, files feel as natural as gravity, and alternatives become literally unthinkable. The internet's early days revealed something miraculous. Millions of strangers cooperating without money, punishment, or leaders, creating beautiful things simply because they could. But our faith in human nature got replaced by faith in the network itself as a superhuman creature. This shift empowers what Lanier calls digital Maoism, the belief that chopping a network of individuals finely enough produces something greater than the sum of its parts. Wikipedia erases individual perspective entirely. Social networks reduce complex humans to multiple choice identities, relationship status, political affiliation, favorite movies selected from drop-down menus. We call this innovation, but the effect is flattening human complexity into machine-readable data points. The hive mind mythology claims that billions of small contributions create emergent superintelligence. It's seductive. That quantity transforms into quality at extreme scale. But as Lanier bluntly observes, even networking quadrillions of contributors wouldn't replicate one mediocre physicist's achievements. The internet hasn't produced new Einsteins or Mozarts. It's produced viral memes and algorithmic recommendations that narrow rather than expand our horizons. Alan Turing, mathematician, World War II codebreaker, victim of persecution for his homosexuality, left us a famous thought experiment before his suicide. The Turing test asks, can you distinguish between text from a hidden human and a computer? Generations of technologists misread this as supporting machine consciousness. What it actually reveals is more unsettling. Machine intelligence exists only relative to human perception. The test cuts both ways. You can't determine if a machine got smarter or if you've just lowered your standards. We degrade ourselves constantly to make machines seem intelligent. Bankers trust algorithms despite catastrophic failures. Teachers instruct to standardize tests computers can grade. We accommodate search engines' limitations rather than demanding they understand us. Every instance of apparent machine intelligence reflects our willingness to simplify ourselves. Consider chess. When Deep Blue defeated Kasparov in 1997, the public reaction revealed deep anxiety about human uniqueness. But framing it as machine defeats human missed the point. Computer scientists built a fast machine with elegant software, a human achievement. The bitter irony? Kasparov lost partly because he imagined psychology in the computer's moves, detecting sinister intelligence where nothing existed. The match became an unintended Turing test, and Kasparov was fooled not by the computer's brilliance, but by his own projection. The digital orthodoxy of open culture threatens unprecedented inequality disguised as liberation. As robots perform surgery, fight wars, and manufacture products, human labor risks obsolescence. Previous technologies created better jobs than those destroyed, but what happens when hobbyist robots fabricate household items on demand? When algorithms write news and compose music? In this devalued landscape, only advertising maintains worth. The supreme irony: Silicon Valley once despised advertising as old media's cardinal sin. Now it's the only expression meriting commercial protection. Google's massive earnings reveal a fundamental contradiction. If crowds are truly wise, why do they need paid persuasion? When money flows to advertising instead of musicians, journalists, and artists, we choose manipulation over truth and beauty. The new social contract encourages creators to give work freely to the hive mind in exchange for self-promotion. Culture becomes nothing but advertising. During the Bush years, with fewer professional journalists but more bloggers, America made catastrophic military and economic decisions without proper scrutiny. The connection isn't coincidental. For the first time in recording history, a decade passed without distinct musical evolution. Young listeners can't distinguish tracks from 1998 and 2008, whereas previous generations instantly identified each decade's signature sound. This stagnation contradicts technology's historical role. The Beatles transformed music through multi-track recording. Synthesizers enabled new genres. Yet the internet produced endless recycling rather than radical innovation. Hip-hop stands as a notable exception, weaponizing digital limitations. The regular beat and repeated samples express stuckness. A digital sample in angry rap represents not graffiti, but the wall itself, the constraints of modern existence. Meanwhile, the hive ideology robs musicians of control. Music becomes fragments used by anonymous third parties, reduced to dots in a pointless spew. Streaming metrics create an illusion of success while masking the deeper crisis in genuine innovation and human connection. Ted Nelson, who invented hypertext in the 1960s, proposed maintaining one copy of each work and paying creators per access, every quote traceable to its source, every author compensated, eliminating digital rights management entirely. This isn't fantasy. Internet providers could offer an attractive option: stop paying monthly fees in exchange for paying for consumed content. Access nothing, pay nothing. Earn money when others visit your content. The open culture crowd claims human behavior requires involuntary control, but this ignores centuries of social contracts working without perfect enforcement. Few people break into cars despite how easy it is. Locks are merely symbols reminding us of agreements we benefit from. Patreon and Substack already prove people voluntarily pay for valued content. Lanier offers practical suggestions. Avoid anonymous posting that leads to dehumanized behavior, create original content outside collaborative platforms, develop distinctive personal websites, produce thoughtful videos requiring creative investment, craft reflective writing showcasing individual perspective. The fundamental question isn't whether technology will advance, that's inevitable, but whether advancement will enhance or diminish our essential human qualities. Will we design systems celebrating individual consciousness or surrender to designs reducing us to statistical fragments? The digital revolution remains unfinished, its trajectory still malleable. You are not a gadget. The technologies we build should reflect that truth.